You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
Welcome to my show, Apathetic Enthusiasm, brought to you by Chelsea and Brandon. Thank you for joining us on this special 2025 episode.
Yeah, 2025. Woo! We made it. There's one thing I never thought I'd do. And that's make it to 2025.
Oh, I was going to say, there's so many things I wasn't sure I was going to do.
No. Like, this was the one thing. It was in our vows, actually.
Like, till 2025, do us part.
Yeah. So sometime during this year, I will die.
Oh, no.
You will not know when. You will not know the means by which I will die. But
watch for it. Watch for it to happen on camera right now. Secretly, his wife has poisoned his Manhattan.
it's a Manhattan. That's fantastic.
What is it? You got a big ball in there, sir.
It's just a cherry Coke with vanilla vodka.
Oh, it's like a roughing it Manhattan, like a camping Manhattan.
Yeah, camping man.
But let's talk about the big ball in your drink, because
okay, let's talk about the big ball in my drink.
You got a special ice ball maker, and it's the first ball I've seen produced from ice ball maker, and it's ginormous. It's the size of a baseball.
Yeah, it's just a big baseball ice ball
size. Oh, we should make a bunch of those and have a snowball fight.
That would hurt.
Yeah, but 2025, you're going to die anyway. So I feel like that'd be a good way to go out.
That's true. I should do everything that is death defying.
Yes. Death by ice.
Oh, my gosh. Just like jumping out of planes with no chute.
Oh, that's boring. I mean, like, see how many feathers you can eat.
What if I jump out of a plane with a bungee cord still attached to the plane?
Oh, my gosh. That's a little more interesting. Yeah. I'd go for that. Because there's like a chance. Like, well, he might make it. It might fling him forward to Omaha. We don't know.
Yeah. But then, like, I just imagine jumping out of the plane with the bungee, and then it's just like dragging me through the air for just, you know, from like
for a long time,
Phoenix to Miami.
But how many? That's not the right question. Where is your harness connected? That's the key to an airplane bungee jump.
I guess my chest, like just like wrapped around my chest.
Okay, so it's going to be death by chest crushing, which is what it will be.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, hey, everyone. Welcome
to this special joyous episode.
Yeah. Welcome to Apathetic Enthusiasm. That is Chelsea. I am Brandon. Chelsea is helping us out. She's, you know, she's basically the new Travis, but
I'm the poor man's Travis.
No, I wouldn't say that. The poor man's Travis is Travis.
Oh.
Welcome. Thank you for listening. You can find us in a few different ways. You can go over at apathetic_enthusiasm on Instagram, apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com. You can also send us a message on X at apathusiast. Won't get it because we barely ever check that, but
do it anyway.
It's there anyways. Someday I'll make a Blue Sky, but you can always find us on Blue Sky for interdimensional access. That's the new social media craze.
Is it similar to Twitter? Because it has like a same, that's the same vibe.
It's interesting you say vibe. It has an old school Twitter vibe to it. Like that, it feels old school Twitter-ish over on Blue Sky, which I do like.
So you will eventually be hanging out on Blue Sky.
Yeah. Eventually, someday.
Before the end of this year, better be.
Yeah, maybe that's what will kill me. like and subscribe or do stuff like that. We read all your reviews. I don't think we do. Early on, Travis and I looked at the reviews new reviews. And then some of them were good, some of them were bad. And the bad ones always like made me want to like comment on them.
Not
comment on them in a bad way, but like be like,
I'm sorry.
I hear your feedback. We accept your feedback. We appreciate it. You giving us feedback means that you were listening to us.
You've been married to me for a long time. You feel the need to validate everyone's feelings.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, and just like you, it was a ploy to keep you there.
Did it work?
No, they ran away.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why we're in separate rooms with different last names. Yeah. So Chelsea, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good today. It's been a crazy whirlwind week. We had so much, as you know, you were there.
Yeah. Imagine I wasn't. Okay. Imagine
so
I wasn't
January
there.
January is always kind of cuckoo bananas. Huh. So it comes after the holidays and the holidays just don't stop coming.
I know that. Yeah, no, I've been there.
Well, you weren't there this time. I was spending it in a different place.
Right.
And after New Year's Eve, we had Dexter's 13th birthday and his very first like official party with like more than two kids there. It was like an official teen hangout. I felt like I was not in the loop. And I should have not been near the house at all. And then, so we had that. And then back to school is coming up. And our anniversary is coming up. We've got a bajillion birthdays coming up. So for all that going on, I'm feeling pretty good.
That's good. That's good. We were getting ready for old Dexatron's birthday. It's 13.
13.
The Cruises have a teenager now.
Not this young face.
Oh, no.
I hit the mic again.
Count them.
That's why Travis is
Chelsea Mike hit number one. That's probably why I keep my arms crossed all the time, just so I don't do that
a lot with my arms.
So we have a 13-year-old. We asked him what he wanted to do for his birthday.
4 months we asked him.
We asked him.
Nothing. I don't care.
He's just so damn agreeable. It's annoying.
Yeah,
you know.
It can be an issue when nobody can decide anything because, like, I don't know what you want to do.
The other day when we were asking, you and I couldn't decide on dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come on, Dexter, tell us what you want.
I know. But then there was a part of me that was like, he's going to say sushi. And I don't really feel like having sushi. It is what we ended up having, but only because that was what you wanted. That was what Brandon wanted.
Yeah. But it wasn't that bad. It was decent sushi.
It was good.
So for his actual birthday, we didn't actually it was like a couple days before he's like, do you just want like a couple friends over or something like that? He's like, yeah. And then that turned into a 6 or 7.
Yeah. He sent that text out real quick.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Things started happening right then. You sure this is your last chance? If you want friends over, your birthday's in Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 4 days. So if you want friends over, now's the time. Tell us. Yes, 6 of them.
Sex.
Yeah.
Like, okay, but you forgot a friend or two. Oh yeah, thanks for reminding me.
I know that was my fault.
Yeah.
And then he didn't even invite all the people that he wanted to invite.
Yeah.
He limited it because he's such a good boy. And we don't have a humongous house, so 6 tall, lanky, angsty tweens were plenty.
Yeah, plenty. It was a nice little get together. Before that, we surprised him. You mentioned Mystique Dining. I don't know, did you? I feel like you meant to.
Not since you clicked the button.
All right, so
click. Mystique Dining,
which is no longer in La Jolla.
But that's where we went because it was their second to last night performing in La Jolla.
Why don't you tell us about Mystique Dining?
Magic and a dinner show. Super basic explanation of that. And lovely setup from the outside. It doesn't look like it's going to be anything. And then you go inside. It's very goth magic, red velvet, pictures of magicians, and the room is small, like 35 people. Eat a very delicious dinner, 5-course dinner, and then it's like medieval times, but like with forks. And then
I've never been to medieval times.
You haven't?
They don't have forks?
No, you have to eat with your hands. You could maybe request a fork, but they might yell at you like, "How dare thou!"
Do they have chopsticks?
I highly doubt it. I highly doubt it.
They're like, that's appropriation. We don't do that here at medieval times.
they're supposed to be like old timey medieval British, so they probably have appropriated everything. So it was a Yeah, maybe they do have chopsticks, but they don't call them that.
We don't doth call them chopsticks. No. We call them Medivh sticks.
Something fun British. And then a magician comes out and performs for like an hour. So that's super fun. We can't record or take any pictures of the magician. So that was kind of a bummer because Dexter got to do one of the magic tricks. And it was like kind of the finale. And it was the best trick, in my opinion.
I agree.
And so that was super fun. But they do have other locations. But I think it's like in Utah or like somewhere super northern California.
Yeah, yeah. This is the second time we'd been there. We went for his like 10th birthday a good handful of years ago. And, it's nice. It's nice to do that. It makes me want to go to Magic Castle.
Send us tickets, Magic Castle. That's not even how that works. You don't even get tickets. They come into you in the middle of the night and blindfold you and throw you in a van.
You're going to the Magic Castle.
It's very hush-hush over there.
And some people have friends, and like, we have friends who can go to the Magic Castle.
Everybody always knows someone who knows someone.
Except and us. Yet,
yeah. I feel like everywhere we go, you know someone. How come you don't know people who go to Magic Castle?
I do, actually. But I don't want to ask them because I feel odd.
You could totally throw me under the bus for that.
No, I won't.
My wife's dying.
It's 2025.
What if you could be death by magic in 2025?
That'd be bitching. Yeah, like a sword to the chest.
Yeah, a saw in half. Disappear, saw to the chest. Lacking a reappearance.
In my chest.
You want something to happen in your chest.
Yeah, heck yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Just a dump them. No,
reroute.
You talk about Dexter having a trick, participating in a trick. I was the first trick that he pulled on. Excuse me, what's your name? And he was like looking at me, but also like it could have been Chelsea, it could have been the person behind me. And so I was like, is it behind me? You're like, yeah, you. I'm like, huh? Is that person also looking backwards as they're doing
that?
He's
like, sir, the doubter that we caught you on our overhead mics talking about how he didn't believe in magic. You go first.
Yeah, you go first. And it was a fun little card trick where there was no way I was going to win the card trick.
I'm trying to remember what it was. Oh yeah, because I kind of blacked out when that happened because I was like, oh God, Brandon, don't say like, I don't believe in this. This is how it's done, and throw the cards down and walk out of there. And then we're never allowed to anywhere near the magic community ever again.
No magic castle, magic jail.
Death by magic.
Magic jail. Dungeon. I'm a skeptic, but like
skeptic is such a nice word.
I'm interested in the art of magic and like knowing what the trick is.
As
right?
like a sleight of hand from that kind of, and like how they manage to distract you over here and do this over here without you noticing.
Yeah. I'm interested in how the trick works. And that magician, like as part of his thing, like he did talk about like in one of his bits, talking about like there are people who are interested in like the mystery. They are wowed by the mystery of the magic. Mm-hmm. And then there are the people who are trying to figure it out. Mm-hmm. I'd like to know, because I know magic's not real. And so it's interesting.
How dare you, sir?
It's interesting to me how it is accomplished. And
I don't see how you can avoid death by magician at this point. They're coming for you.
I'm sorry, guys. I watched this Instagram reel the other day multiple times, and it was like a basic card trick of like the guy like showing, he's like, okay, here's all the cards. All right. Just, you know, laying them out. And then he puts them in his hand and he's like, okay, now cut the deck into three. And like, put that there. And then he's like, okay, now I'm going to fan them all out. And then stop me when it's your card or whatever. And so he's like, da, 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 da,
but it's
da,
not,
da.
It's like for anybody who watches it, like because it's on Instagram. So it's going to work for whoever watches it.
Yeah. No, but he's doing it to somebody who's in the room with them. And then, so the person's like, he's like, you haven't stopped me yet. And you're like, yeah, no, I haven't stopped you yet. And he's like, okay, I'll bet you a drink that the next card I flip over is your card. He's like, okay, sure. And then He flips over the card, one of the cards that was already fanned, because like, all right, you owe me a drink.
Got you.
And so I was like looking at the comments, like, okay, I don't know how he did it, because I don't know how magic, like, I don't know all the tricks, right?
Right.
And like how things are forced onto people.
Yeah.
And so I was listening. So when he fanned, like at the very beginning of the trick, when he's putting the cards down, he's looking for the fourth card. And then when the cards get cut, he knows what card it's going to be already. Mm-hmm. Right.
I imagine the magicians know quite early on in their trick, and then they do a bunch of other.
Exactly. The misdirect is all like the, oh, you know, this reminds me of a time Johnny bought me a cherry coke down at the local spritzer joint. Right. It's like that's all filler.
You went to magic in the 30s. The 1930s.
The spritzer joint. Anyway, yeah, magic's cool.
It is cool. I like it. It's like a weird math problem, kind of in some ways, where they have to figure out the pattern that everybody's going to choose such and such in this. So it's interesting. This is the most I've ever talked about magic at one time.
Hey, congratulations.
Yeah.
See, you won't die.
Let me check that off of my to-do list for 2025.
So there's a corollary with magic and then stand-up comedy. Like, I appreciate the artistry of both of them, but I like magicians more than I do stand-up comedy. And do you like magicians more, or like, I know your family is huge on stand-up.
Yes. I don't know. I like them both as long as they're really well done.
Okay.
It doesn't matter to me if it's an amazing magician or an amazing comedian. I want to be entertained right now.
And that's why we're going to medieval times. That's what I'm gonna
say. Give me my chicken leg. That's all you know about medieval times is from Cable Guy.
Yeah, it's true. So what else? What else been going on? New Year's, we passed that up. We watched a whole lot of Twilight Zone.
I fell asleep before midnight, and then I woke up in my own bed, and then woke up to you and Dexter. Woo! And I saw it was 12:03. I was like, oh no. And then so I got up. I debated not getting up. But yeah, our New Year's Eve was pretty low key because we went to Mystique Dining the night before.
Yeah.
And so we were already partied out.
Yeah. I mean, all we had to do at midnight was eat black eyed peas.
Yes. And I don't know everybody's little traditions. I'd be interested to know, because just found out recently that our sister-in-law, your brother's wife, Chella, says that they eat 12 grapes on New Year's Eve.
Huh.
And I had never heard that. And I'm sure there are a bajillion other traditions. And when we say black-eyed peas to people, they're probably like, what? Why? And I don't know. Yeah. I don't know the answer, except for that my grandmother made us do it, and now we do it.
Yeah. But clearly a lot of people do it, though, because black eyed peas are always sold out right around New Year's.
Yeah, I thought that was a really good move on my mom's part this year. Everybody for Christmas, each little family member got a can of black eyed peas. Like, ooh, good call.
Yeah, that was really, really smart of her. And she's not always smart. So, you know, I'm kidding. Cindy, we love you. Well, I love you.
She is amazing.
Your daughter
doesn't. She's the best.
We watched a couple movies.
We're done with New Year's Eve.
We're done with New Year's Eve because
next we
moved on.
Man, we are barreling through the topics on this one.
Do you want to talk about New Year's? Let's talk about New Year's.
No.
What's your resolution?
Ugh, nope.
Tell me what your resolution
is. I don't do that.
I know you don't, but if you had to, what would it be?
It would be something boring, like I'm like, I'm gonna lose weight and exercise and quit smoking and drink less and all the things that are gonna make me healthy. I'll stop doing them any minute.
That's more than one resolution. You have to pick one.
That's why I can't narrow it down to one. There's too many things to resolve.
Yeah. Mine was to be happier at work. And Hassan, it's not working.
You went, this is your first day back and you already got mad.
Yeah. Like, fuck this.
Ooh.
Bye, everybody. Bye. Just kidding. Anybody who's listening, I'm not quitting. Trust me, Mike.
They're already putting applications for your job. No, I actually, this isn't a resolution because I don't really like that whole thing. But I would love for 2025 to be the year that I make my house a home and it feels a little bit more put together. With being in the military for so many years and moving around to different places, I have gotten used to wherever we're living just being a temporary, just set it up, throw it up on the wall, put it somewhere. I don't care where it goes. And so now we've been here for, I don't know, 3 years maybe-ish.
Yeah.
And so it's starting to feel like, okay, we're not moving. Let me make it look not so frat housey in here.
One of the things we did for D-Man's birthday was clean up the house and open up the living room a little bit more. So now the couch is on the side. It's an more open space. Plus he has the VR, so it gives him room to do that.
I mean, it's not going to stay that way because I can't sit on that couch with my head turned at a 90-degree angle to the left to watch TV. This needs to, everything needs to be in front of the TV.
Well, that's what I ask is there a variation of that setup? Maybe not the TV there that you would be interested in.
I think it involves lots of mirrors. I think there's a lot of mirrors, wall, ceiling, everything. And then I'm back in the bedroom watching the living room TV somehow all the way down the hall.
Yeah, that seems like it would make me throw up.
I would never know. Did that guy just go to the left? No, he went to the right.
It's like every fun house horror scene. We're like, Carol Ann. It's Poltergeist. I want to help out with that. And that's
Organized
is key. And that's why I enlisted my dad to help me tear up the rest of the deck.
On Dexter's birthday party day.
No, it was the day before.
You started it the week before, but then you're right. That was the day before his birthday party. Mm-hmm. And you guys were out there ripping up the whole thing.
Yeah. I wanted it to look.
Spoiler alert. It was not put together again by the next day.
It was not put back together, but we took a bunch of wood to the dump. So that was good. It didn't look
termite wood.
Termite wood. It didn't look very good in the backyard. And I didn't know if the kids were going to go in the back. And I didn't know if any of the parents were going to go in the back. So I wanted to get it knocked out while I still had energy. And before, I didn't want to do it on Sunday because I would have to go back to work the next day.
Yeah.
So that was the last chance.
Sunday's like pre-Monday.
Yeah. Depressing.
But anyways, have you heard people call Thursday the preakend?
I've never heard that.
Oh, I like
it. Did you say that? Did you make that up?
I did not.
Are you the people?
I've heard I'm not the people. I'm never the people. I always catch it a few weeks later, months or years. And so I heard that one time. Thursday is the pre-kind.
Yeah. Fridays are basically wastes of days at work. No one needs a Friday at work because basically Friday is.
People are already on Saturday in their brain. They're mm-hmm. not working.
That's why you need 3-day weekends every weekend.
Agreed.
Okay. Good.
Write it down. Send it in. Local congressman.
You heard it here, everybody.
We're breaking news.
Brandon and Chelsea, we agree. 3-day weekends for all and for all a good night.
Good night. Yeah. Yes, indeed.
Nice.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
All right, well, what
you
else?
You said we watched movies.
New Year's. Let's talk about New Year's. Twilight Zone? Okay.
We didn't watch as much Twilight Zone. I mean, I didn't watch as much Twilight Zone this year as we normally do.
Yeah, it was on the entire time on my laptop or my phone. And for some reason this year, I wanted to watch it, but also I felt like I wanted to do a lot of other stuff too. And I didn't want to, I don't know, I wasn't as motivated this year to watch all of it. And after New Year's, I kind of was like, okay, that's good enough.
You have a lot of things going on for you to just be like, I need to sit in front of the TV now for 48 hours straight and watch all these episodes again.
Yeah, I did.
That's like a Twilight Zone episode in itself. So you're just forced to watch Twilight Zone all the time. what's real?
I did get some rest this weekend, so that was good. But the movies, let's talk about the movies. Okay. Chelsea, enough, you know, quit distracting me. Let's talk about.
Sorry, you're running this show. You right. Tell me.
Okay, we watched two movies, not in a row, separately, and not at the same time either.
And not even this year.
Not even this year. We watched two.
No, we watched Wild Robot this year because that was the night before Dexter's birthday.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Two different years, two different movies, both movies from the same year. Wild Robot and Alien Romulus. So let's start with one.
I'm sure a lot of people have seen it by now. That one was older. I was late to the party on that one. So we started to watch it a couple weeks ago. And then you and Dexter had already seen it. So Dexter was throwing out spoilers every once in a while. He wasn't thinking. He was just saying things. And so then it was like, wait, should we watch Alien first, then watch this? So then we watched Alien. And that's why Alien Romulus got pushed even further back.
Okay.
And I didn't like it as much as I thought it was going to.
Now, did you not like it, or you just didn't like it as much as you wanted to like it?
I have a feeling that I didn't like it, but oh. I'm not sure exactly why.
Okay. What was your initial impression?
It felt very Jason X-y to me.
Okay.
It felt unnecessary and like just kind of like trying to think of new crazy weird things to put in it. It felt superfluous.
Okay. I'm good with that word.
Thank you.
It means like superfluous.
Yes. I was like, is this fluous? No, it's superfluous.
That's what they put in your drinking water, as a matter of fact.
Russians.
I get it. I think that any prequel can come off as unnecessary and needless. But, you know, sequels, too, I think, are like sure. that. And so, like,
that's why I haven't seen, like, the last three Lion King follow-ups. I'm like, I get it.
We get it. I don't need to know. Scar's back from the dead.
I'm like, I don't need to know Mufasa's origin story. I bet it was that he was born a baby cub, and then he became a lion.
Who became a king.
Yeah. Feels pretty cut and dry. I don't think he was, like, fighting underground fight clubs, or like there were no lightsabers involved or anything that I'm going to be surprised about. It's going to be he was born and then his dad died and then he became king.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I think there's more to it than that.
Do you?
Which we will talk
then
about.
They should have called it Mofasa, but they didn't.
Morfasa?
Yeah.
Mufasa too. Morfasa.
Mofasa, more furious.
Yeah, your Jason X reference with, and just talking about like sequels being unnecessary. That's why Jason X is like one of my least favorite Friday the 13th movies. It's just because it's like, okay, you needed a Jason in space movie.
I thought if they were gonna make another Alien movie, it would have been a little more clever. I guess that's where my snobbiness comes in, where I was like, this doesn't feel that like unique or original or new to me. The best part about it was the. I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but...
Spoiler alert, everyone. We're going to talk about spoilers.
Up. 3, 2, 1.
Spoiler!
The android.
Yeah.
His name is Sam?
Was it Sam? Randy. Was it Andy?
Andy, yeah.
That's right.
Andy.
And I get that
joke.
He
was an amazing android and actor, and his face was so beautiful. He had the most beautiful, sad, sweet expressions, and I could have just watched him, like... do anything Shakespeare. I don't know. He probably does. He went British for it, for a bit of it. And I was wondering if he was really British in real life or not, but I didn't look it up.
I didn't either. No, that character, that actor is so good because he's so sympathetic. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden to turn into like just a cold,
and even when he's cold, he's not mean. Like he's not like when the other androids goes full robot, you're like, he's kind of an asshole robot, but he was just like, no, this is just his programming.
Yeah. The part where he is in the elevator with Rain and they're going up and she was like, it was something about like not leaving him behind And then like he just had that like really passive aggressive response of like,
yeah, no, I know. I wouldn't leave anyone behind. Yeah. Like, yeah, it was about.
I wouldn't leave anybody behind either.
Rain. Yeah.
And
it up, Rain.
Back it up, Rain. I like Alien Romulus a lot. It's an original story. When I think of Rogue One, like it's a prequel I didn't think I needed, but it ended up being.
You decided you did need it.
Yeah, it's its own story. It's its own story. It doesn't have to do with anything else, and it was good on its own.
It was face hugger heavy. That's what it was. And just anytime I saw those face huggers coming out of anybody, like an intubated, and pulling it out like a full on banana from deep down. And I was like, rough.
Other sci-fi prequels that I think ended up being really, really good.
Ooh, start a list.
Is The Thing. The Thing prequel.
The one with Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Mew. That's one I really like.
That one's good.
And that one didn't seem necessary either.
But you know what? That's because in John Carpenter's The Thing, there aren't a lot of details in that. It's all very ambiguous about what is going on and who even ends up being an alien at the end. Like, it's a very open-ended and open-beginning movie. So there's a lot of room for a setup, like a prequel. Mm-hmm. But I feel like a lot of movies don't need because they already explain it enough.
Right, right.
I got so mad. I got so mad right now. Prequels. I mean, does anybody want my my prequel?
Tell us your worst prequel.
Oh no, I meant like my own of my life.
Yeah,
I got here.
Tell us your own worst prequel. How did you get here today?
I don't know, but I read a thing and I felt like it resonated with me, where it was like my villain origin story is that two people tried to talk to me at the same time, and that's why I'm a bitch now. Like, that broke all my senses.
That I don't think that's a new trend, but it feels like a trend that I've started seeing more of is the villain origin story, kind of like memes and reels. I don't have a reference right now, but
I just gave you one.
No, I don't have any reference.
That was the one.
Nope. I don't remember what it was.
Anyway. Dune, we also watched.
We did watch Dune. The David Lynch Dune.
I had not seen any Dunes or Dune or Red Dune.
Dune Tapai.
I didn't know anything about the Dune world. So we watched the David Lynch one because I figured that's where I should start.
And you remembered certain things from the movie, even if you'd never seen it.
Yeah, I must have just been a baby in the room when my dad was watching it, because I just remembered the most traumatizing character in it. I was like, isn't there a guy? This reminds me of something I watched one time when there's a guy with a bunch of pustules on his face. Cut to, like, instantly the next scene. I was like, there he is. Yeah, nightmares about holes.
Tryptophobia. Call to action. Let us know if it's trippo or tryptophobia. Or fear of holes.
Yeah, I have a holophobia.
And there was that one, and I think there was like some other scenes where you're like, why do I know this?
I don't know. But it was only scenes with that guy, it felt like.
Yeah.
Baron something or other. Or Conan. Ooh, good for me. That's the nerdiest thing I'll say all day.
My Uncle Daniel loved Dune, the Lynch one, obviously, and like he watched it a bunch, and I don't remember anything about it other than like it was a sci-fi movie, and people thought it was weird, and so when I finally watched it, I'm like, I don't know what's happening, but it's okay because it's David Lynch.
David Lynch and I would have very much in common if we were in a room together. I feel like he's just fucking with me all the time. Like, stop it. Just if I see one more slow motion water droplet, why am I watching all these slow motion water droplets? That's why the movie's 2.5 hours long.
David, come on. Your dad mentioned that was like the original cut of the movie is like 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah.
And the studios made him cut it. I wonder if it would have made more or less sense.
You know what? I feel like I read some things on it and that people were like, if he'd gotten to do it the way he wanted to, it would have been a better movie. Mm. So who knows?
Who knows? But instead we got Denis Villeneuve.
What? You love Denis Villeneuve.
I do. You do too.
Yeah. I liked listening to him. I could listen to him talk all the time. He's a very French and it's a very fun French way to listen to. Yeah. And he compliments everyone he speaks to, like in a way that that's the only reason I want to talk to him, because I know I'd end up at the end of a compliment. Or he's like, ask him a question. How so, Denis? What size shoe do you wear? Well, it's a very good question. I can't believe nobody has ever asked me that question before. It's a smart question. Let me answer. Let me really think about this question. And I'll be like, I am good at this.
Oh, yeah. All right. Hey, Denis, real quick question. Do you like beef Wellington?
Oh, beef boof. Oh, yes. Sometimes I have a boof, but let me think about this. Oh, this is a very good question. It makes me really think about the angst of my people.
Yeah, that's really good. Thanks, Denis. I appreciate your frank and honest responses.
Oh, foof. Yeah, sure. Coco.
Coco.
I don't know. Oh, foof.
Did they say Coco?
I don't know, but he did say, oh, la, 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 la. Instead, like, and I like that he says that instead of, like, I don't know. I say, ay, ay, ay. That's so boring. Like, oh, la, 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 la.
Oh, la, la, la. Oh, ay, 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 ay.
Ay, Denis.
So we're gonna watch the Denis Dune movies eventually.
Denis Dune. We should watch it in denim. We should be full dressed denim. Watch Denis Dune in denim
at a Denis restaurant.
Denis with Brian Denim. Dunham. Who's that ventriloquist? Jeff Dunham. Denim.
Jeff
watch
Dunham.
With Jeff Dunham. Denis Dune in denim at Denis with Jeff. Dumb.
With a cardboard cutout of Brian Dennehy.
Oh, R.I.P.
R.I.P. That though I had to say cardboard cutout. Or we could go to his gravesite.
We could dig him up.
Yeah. We take a grand slam breakfast to his gravesite.
Death by Dennehy.
Just his hand reaches out and he's like, did you see FX and FX2?
Did you?
Yeah, I saw FX2.
I don't know what that is.
Brian Dennehy's in it.
Is it a prequel?
No, it's a sequel.
Ugh. Let me just... Get on my soapbox about a sequel. No.
FX2 is like Jason X of the FX movies.
We Jason FX. All right, next movie.
Wild Robot. So Wild Robot is an animated feature by DreamWorks. And I didn't know that movie was coming out. You saw it at some point in time. And
Dexter and I went to a movie in the theater and saw it at a preview of it, and so I was like, that looks fun.
And I still knew nothing about it for a very, very, very long time, maybe until like a couple weeks ago. But I knew that it was got great reviews. It was like 96 on Rotten Tomatoes. And then after a new year, we decided, oh, there it is for rent.
I think because my sister had watched it, and so that's when I knew that it was available. And so I knew I wanted to watch that, but I didn't know why. I didn't really know the premise or anything. I didn't know I was going to cry through 90% of it.
90% of it?
No, that's a lot.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's basically...
It's probably like 43.
Okay. That's a more realistic number, yeah.
But that's because I wasn't crying because 43% of the movie was sad. I was crying because 27% of the movie was sad and I couldn't get it together for the other 16%.
It actually, there's only like a 2% cry time, but you know,
I'm just like remembering some of the percents and be like, that percent was sad.
it's a fast spin up and then a slow cool down for your tear works. So Wild Robot, it's all about a robot that gets sent down to Earth.
I think it washes up on some random island,
and then its purpose is like serve people, right? So it thinks it's there to help people.
It's very
out
task oriented.
It can't find anybody, and so it starts like trying to help all the animals on this island out, and eventually it learns the animals' language.
Oh my god, I'm gonna start crying just even thinking about it.
Eventually it like it accidentally kills a family of birds.
Yeah.
and then it starts raising one of the little geese, and so that is like kind of like the crux of the story is this robot learning to be a mother.
It's a autobiography. Story in cartoon about a cold-hearted robot doesn't know how to love her baby. And then she falls in love with her baby, and then her baby wants to leave. Very sad.
He's still here. Spoilers. I think he's in the. I think he's still in the bathtub.
But
hopefully he's alive.
He won't hold my hand anymore.
No, he won't. But he's very. This isn't about him or you. It's about the wild robot.
That's true.
It's not an autobiography. See, it is hard.
That's a tricky one. It is. I can't decide if you want to say in the present or past tense.
Autobiographical.
Yes.
Because the robot was very task oriented.
You're right. And she didn't cry once.
She didn't cry. You know, cold, heartless robot, no tear ducts. But it did fart like a skunk, I think, at one point in time.
Yeah. And it had a chemical reason for that, which I appreciated. There was a scientific reason why, like, this went on my battery and corroded it to make it a skunk smell. Good for you.
Yeah, good.
DreamWorks, killing it.
Good for you. It's like Dan Aykroyd wrote that part of the script. Because like in Ghostbusters, he just like made up all these like these science terms to be like ectoplasm and blah, blah, blah.
Didn't create the word ectoplasm.
No, but like all like the science-y stuff that him and Egon were talking about.
Dan Aykroyd.
No, Dan Aykroyd's still alive. Dan Aykroyd's alive. You're talking about Egon, who was played by Harold Ramis. Yeah.
And Dan Aykroyd eventually, so I was just, there's a prequel to his death.
Yeah. I watched Twilight Zone, the movie, earlier today. And
the whole thing?
No. But you want to see something really scary?
Is that a prequel or a sequel to the show?
It's a remake. It's just like a remake of some of the...
Like a supplement.
Yes. Yeah. I'd say that. Burgess Meredith narrates it. Look, we're getting away from the wild robot. It was good. I liked it. The animation was... The way the art was... It was
really interesting to look at.
It was... How do we even describe that?
Like, it was almost watercolory.
Yeah.
It didn't have like precise lines.
Yeah.
It was really pretty. It looked like a painting.
It wasn't as sketchy as I say sketchy, but like it wasn't
but you
as much
that.
Of like a sketch as like the Ninja Turtles movie that came
which
out.
Which was cool to look at too.
Yeah, right. It wasn't like that. It wasn't as like the Into the Spider-Verse, it wasn't anything like that. But it felt very artistic,
yeah.
And I really appreciated that. And I appreciated the story, too.
I've never seen that story before.
No. Mm-mm. It's based off a book, I suppose.
Alien.
It's a prequel to Alien Romulus, which is itself a sequel to Alien. So.
And then the wild robot mom turns into a face hugger.
Yeah. She's like, smile, you bitch, or whatever.
No, get away from her, away. You bitch. Smile, you son of a bitch.
That's right.
There were lots of bitches in there. We accept Jaws and Alien.
That is my least favorite part of Alien Romulus is...
When he says that quote.
Yeah.
He says, get away from her. And then there's a pause. So you're like, oh, maybe he's not going to say it. And then I said it out loud. And then he also said it.
Yeah, that's like you didn't need to do that,
yeah.
Fede Alvarez. Who directed Evil Dead Rise, which was a great movie.
We're switching?
No.
Oh.
This is
an emotional roller coaster for me. I'm having trouble tracking.
Just like the wild robot. if you could rate the wild robot, what would you rate?
9,000.
9,000. You would rate the wild robot 9,000. Is that 9,000 out of 9,000 or is there still like 10,000?
It's on a very boring scale of 10,000. Instead of one between 1 and 10, 1 and 10,000.
It's not that's not boring.
Let's go regular scale. Okay. 1 to 10. Yeah. I would give it a very strong 9. Yeah, probably would.
Okay. All right. Okay. Now I have to ask about
Romulus.
Romulus. Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna say a 5.5.
Oh my god.
6. That help? Make you feel better?
Yeah. It makes me feel better. Yeah, I can go with 6, but anything like 5, like middle of the road, because it's not middle of the road.
Maybe. Because I was real quick just trying to think of all the bits and pieces of Alien Romulus and like sets and the special effects cast, all good stuff. And it was just like, it was basically just the actors and their roles, the characters and their roles. I was not a huge fan of. Liked most everything else. Just they didn't have likable or didn't care at all about the characters. And then, I don't know.
Yeah, I think what I'm going to make
they didn't have a lot of interesting deaths.
I think what I'm going to make you do is watch Alien 3.
Can't make me do anything.
Alien Resurrection.
Oh, and then rate them against that.
And then Alien versus Predator. And then Alien versus Predator.
Oh, Requiem. Maybe that's my problem is that I've only seen like a really good one. Maybe I should watch them all in reverse of like the watch the best one last.
Yeah.
But then they're all out of order.
Because you've seen Alien. Hmm. That was the most recent one you watched. Probably for maybe not for the first time, but no, that you can remember.
But it was the first time that I was really like watching it for like a purpose. Like I want to watch this and study this and make sure it's all because I'm going to watch Alien Romulus next. So I was paying closer attention to it.
Got it. And then, of course, Aliens. Is fantastic. So, yeah. I give Romulus. I think it's pretty damn solid. And the little scene with like the anti gravity where she's like trying to go through all the acid.
It's like one of my least favorite bits.
Oh, it's such a good scene.
It's the part I was thinking of that's making me knock it down.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because the whole thing is that, spoilers coming.
No, we already, spoiler alert.
Is that, okay, they're doing this so that the acid blood doesn't melt the ship. Well, this is going to work. Then it does anyway. So it doesn't even, I don't know. The whole gravity, anti-gravity thing felt like a gimmick. Felt gimmicky.
Yeah, but they're
I'm being real picky. I know
they knew that the acid was going to eat through the bottom of the ship eventually. They knew that, but like they were trapped at the end of the hallway. They had to get to the other end, but the other end of the hallway had all the aliens. So like they knew that if they shot the aliens, the acid was going to go through the floor. But if they turned the gravity off, then they can at least kill all the aliens and then scoot past them in anti-gravity. Mm-hmm. Hopefully by the time they got to the other side, the gravity, they would still have anti-gravity and then be able to escape. Mm-hmm. And so that's what that scene's about. Like they knew it was going to eat through the bottom.
So if you had to rate Romulus against the original Alien, what would you say?
I would rank Romulus third in my favorite Alien movie.
We'd go Alien, Aliens, and then Romulus?
Yeah.
That's fair. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it's better than the first two.
No.
I haven't seen quite a large portion of other Alien movies.
Yeah.
I mean Alien movies in general. I've seen Avatar. I just haven't seen all of the
Alien types of movies with Alien.
I've seen the one with Lou Gossett Jr.
Enemy Mine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dennis Quaid.
Inner Space. That's not Alien.
No, that's not Alien. No. And then a Wild Robot. I would
Signs.
So Romulus, I'd give an 8.5 or a 9. In a Wild Robot, I'd give a 9.5 because I think it's a really good movie.
It's like it reminded me of Over the Hedge, which I think is also a DreamWorks movie.
I think so. Yeah.
But much better than that.
Much better. DreamWorks. I feel like they've gotten better with their movies that aren't Minion movies.
That's not.
Oh, that's not DreamWorks, right? That's
Illumination and that's Sony.
Right. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Because DreamWorks did
all the Shreks.
Sure.
The cat. The Puss in Boots.
Oh yeah, the Last Wish.
Oh, that's such a good movie, and that one also was fun animation.
I know you don't like How to Train Your Dragon. But like,
I guess I need to watch them again. I've heard people raving about all of them. Yeah. Like they're all so good. And so I'm like, all right, I'll try and watch them again and pretend that what's his little tiny Canadian face isn't the main voice in that.
Baruchel. Jay Baruchel.
Yeah. Boy, he's like the poor man's Christian Slater. Yeah, I am not making friends this episode. This is rough. I can feel it as it's happening. I'm like, ooh, Chelsea a little hostile this day.
Jay Baruchel is the Jason X of Canadian actors.
He's the the Winona Ryder alien of the all the child dream, all the DreamWorks,
all the dream movies. Anyways, you know, to those listening, if you've seen The Wild Robot,
if you thought this was the most interesting thing you ever listened to,
yeah, then
you're
please,
welcome.
Please send us a message. Barnyard Cruz and then Chester, whatever she is. Let us know if you've seen those movies. Let us know what you thought. If you work with me, just stop me in the hallway or come to my office and sit on my couch. And,
yeah. Or call us. FaceTime us and we'll talk about it.
Yeah. FaceTime us. Something.
We miss you guys.
Yeah, come on. Talk to us more. Speaking of talking to us more, I had a game night. I hosted a game night. You know me. I don't host things. I don't like people coming to my house. And that was fun. I know you
did a good job.
I know you didn't participate, but
no, that is fine. That's my idea of a really good game night with the games you were playing. I was like, I will be in here. You clean the house from here west.
Yeah.
Everything west of the hallway.
Whatever your square is that you're playing this game in, just make sure that's clean and we're good.
I just got nervous because I was back there and I could hear you, your friend and coworker Justin, mm-hmm. Justin's daughter, Julieta, your brother, Brett, who's 32, and our son at the time was 12. And it sounded, every once in a while, it got a little heated. I could hear it in there. And I could hear my son's voice. I'm like, oh, this is going to end in tears. Oh. I'm just going to sit back here and wait.
And it did. But then we played more games after that.
Yeah. What was the one that caused tears? Catan?
Catan, yeah.
Catan, some people say.
Catan. Yeah.
I call it Caton. All hail.
All Caton. Smith, I can remember
Caton Upton, Caton Beckinsale.
Yeah, there we go.
Kate Beckinsale.
Oh yeah, look at that face. Catan caused the tears. It was the first time he ever played. It was getting frustrating. And it's like aggravation. The first time he played, he hated it, and then later he's like, I'd play that again. Well, the thing that I liked about that game night was. Here's our shout out to Travis moment is when we first met in Oklahoma, we're hanging out, like Travis always would have game nights over at his house all the time. John Caulfield, me, Ryan McGovern, like we'd play games over there and pretty fairly often.
There's a guy named Jeremy, right?
Yeah. Okay. Beckham. And it was like, it reminded me of that. And like, it's fun times, like a group of people.
Like just before playing. Kids.
Yeah,
and now your kid's old enough to play, so yes. It's like you don't have to like gotta go, guys.
That's the best part about it. Of like Dexter gets to learn something other than aggravation and dominoes. Like those are great games. I love playing them too. But you gotta get frustrated with some Catan.
I did. That's why I don't.
you did. Brett like, got.
If anybody asks me how much wool I have, one more time. Yeah, I'm gonna burn this place to the ground.
and Justin gave me shit because like you because we're Brett, me, and Justin, like, oh, you could,
bullies.
We're all competitive,
world class bullies.
But Justin and Brett are competitive. I just like trolling. That's kind of what I end up.
You know how much people love someone who loves trolling.
Yeah, well, you know, don't be competitive and I won't try to troll you.
Gosh, you're so competitive.
I'm not that competitive.
You are.
No, I'm not. You want to bet?
Yeah. About to get crazy up in here.
Anyway, any final thoughts, honey?
Let's see. Dexter starts back to school on Wednesday, which is a bummer. And he's like, I have to get up at 6:30. I'm like, not just you, buddy. How are you going to get to school? So that whole rigmarole. Ugh, I'm so over this school institution business.
Bummer.
But so that I'm like, ugh, that's gonna suck. I start back next week, which isn't even as sucky to me as Dexter going to school because I don't have to go that early. And then we have our anniversary is coming up.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And
37 years.
Gross.
Don't say gross.
because we're only 42.
Oh, that's why I was like, I don't want to be married to you for 37 years.
We're not going to be. Your death is imminent. Ooh,
yeah, but it's in the will that you have to stay married to my corpse.
Okay. All right.
And you have to drag me with you everywhere you go. Oh,
that's worse than what we have to do now. Your death is going to be worse on me than your life.
If you want my hard-earned cash.
Oh, I'm going to get it. Oh. No, it's only 21 years and not 30. That's crazy.
That's crazy.
No, no final thoughts, though, on any of those things. Those were my final thoughts. It's just like now I'm thinking about getting back into the swing of things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right. I have no final thoughts other than saying thank you all for listening. Thanks for being a part of the show, hanging out with me and Chelsea. If you want to help the show out, go over to Patreon, patreon.com/something-something-something. And, you know,
slash Chelsea.
Got nothing to give you. Magic Mind. You'll notice we didn't do a Magic Mind segment this week, but you can still go use our code Travis and Brandon 20 if you want to get some of that stuff. And then, we'll see you. We'll see you next week or whenever we do this. Do us a favor.
Seems like it's going to be weekly.
Do us a favor. Throw a handful of dirt in the air, spin a couple times, hokey pokey, and say apathetic enthusiasm forever.
And, amen.
And film it for us and send it to us on email and our YouTube.
Give it to me on a flash drive.
YouTube.com/apatheticenthusiasm for more details.
Oh man, this episode felt a little wackadoo.
It was a little wackadoo. I blame it on the margarita and Bloody Mary. I had it.
Blame it on the bossa nova.
I don't get it. Okay, I'm done.
Okay. Love you guys.
Love you. Bye.